Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Devotees, friends, let us read a few verses, three or four perhaps, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, Ajamil delivered by the Vishnudutas. And let us read a few verses. We'll begin with verse 45. Carol sank. Wait. Carol sank. Carol cease. Carol set. Wait. The Carol nerf. Patetra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So just first of all, by way of introduction to these verses, this is the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter. It is the concluding parts, some of the concluding parts, of the story of Ajamil, who, as the chapter says, was delivered by the Vishnudutas. So first of all, just to introduce what has been going on and what these verses are addressing and referring to. This Ajamil, well, actually, let me go back even a step further. This is the beginning of the sixth canto, chapter 2. At the end of the fifth canto, those of you who were there last night would remember we discussed this. At the end of the previous section, just immediately before, there was a very graphic, dramatic description of the hellish planet, the places where after death, people who are just very, very bad, terrible people, where they go for their next lifetime or many lifetimes. And you all understand English, okay? Yeah, okay. So that was the previous, just shortly before this. And having heard that description, Maharaj Parikshit, who the Bhagavatam is being spoken to, he heard those descriptions of the hellish planets and he thought, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. These people, these bad people, they are going to suffer too much, like we can hardly imagine. So he asks Shukadev Goswami, who is reciting the Bhagavatam to him, what can be done to help these people? Can something be done? They are very bad people. So, is there any possibility? Is there any hope? Is there any hope? So, to answer that question, Shukadev Goswami tells the story of Ajamil, who was such a person, just a most terrible person, really most terrible person, and who would have gone to those same hellish planets and just had a most terrible time. But this Ajamil, despite being the type of person he was, He was delivered. He was delivered, and he went back to Godhead, actually. And how did that happen, considering how extremely bad he was? It happened because he started to chant the holy names of the Lord. And you might ask, how could such a terrible person who's interested in terrible things, how could such a person become interested in chanting the holy names? The story, very briefly behind that, is that this all happened in the Vedic age, and in those days, in that culture, people would use names of the Lord. Just, it was very common. In fact, basically everyone had that sort of name. You know, just like in say, French culture, there's certain names which are popular. Jean-Paul. Oh, I don't know, I forget. But you know what I mean. And in other, like in English, in England, you don't find the Jean-Pauls. You find some other names.
Peter,
well, John, actually. Or you go to Russia. We just returned from Russia, just some days ago. And in Russia, they have completely different names, which are there. They are the names. They are the popular names. Sergei. So many Sergeis. Tatiana. These are popular names, which you won't really find in Mauritius, for example, much. I don't think you'll find many Sergeis or Tatianas, because they're a different culture. So in these times, in that culture, to use names of the Lord for your children was just, it was normal. It's just what people did. And therefore, Ajamil and his wife, when they were older people, they gave birth to one male child, and they thought, what name shall we give this child? And they named the child Narayan, which is a name of the Lord. But they were not thinking, let us choose a name which is a name of God. And we will give it to our child. It will be like a blessing to have a name of God. And whenever people address him, they'll be calling a name of God. It's very sort of pious and nice. It was just a popular name. But of course, as parents, they were always calling out, Narayan, where are you? Narayan, come here. Narayan, do this. Narayan, don't do that. And all like this, it was just Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. All day. And they were addressing their son, but actually they were chanting the name of the Lord. And the result of that was that this terrible person, Ajamil, when the time of death came, he called out for his son to help him. He was very frightened. The Yamadutas were there. And he was desperate what to do. And all he could think of, all he could think to do was, I'll call my son, who was just a little boy. But that's all he could think of. So he's dying. And the Yamadutas are there, the messengers of the Lord of Death. And he's calling out, Narayan, 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 help me. And the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of the Supreme Lord, came and delivered him because he was chanting a name of the Lord. So the point then here is that if it worked in such a way for such a terrible person, what about for a good person who's a devotee, who does some service, and who chants, you know, who actually chants in a mood of worship of the Lord? If the result of Ajamil's bad chanting was that he was delivered, how could there be any doubt that some pious, nice person who chants the name of the Lord consciously in a devotional mood, how can there be any doubt that person will be delivered? So let's just read a couple of verses here then. So this is Carol Sank. Carol Sank. Evam sa viplavata sarva dharma dasyapati patito garya karmana pitat yamano niraye hatavrata sadyovi mukto bhagavan namagrina. Ajamil was a Brahmin who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the orders of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. Okay. So let's read a couple of verses, as I said. Next verse, Karan sees. Nata param karma nibanda kridantanam mumukshatam tirtha padana kirtanat na yatpuna karmasu sajate mano rajastamo bhyam kalilam tatonyata. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation and mystic yoga. Because even after following such methods, one takes the fruit of activities again. Okay, so that's a nice verse. Anyone who wants freedom from material bondage should chant the names of the Lord, glorify him, his pastimes, his qualities. And it's not possible to get such benefit from other processes. And I'll read one more verse. Mriyamano harirnama grinan putro pacharitam ajamilo pyagad dhamma kimuta shradaya grinam. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Let's just say a few words about this. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tunavade. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Charini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschuchyade Shatari. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajjikalpa Tarubhyas Jagrita Sindhu Pyevacha. Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we are here. I assume everyone is aware. The circumstances is that Karuna's husband and the father of the three boys here, unfortunately, even though not an old man, passed away a year ago. So I chose these verses with that in mind because, what was your husband's name?
Manoj.
Was a good man. Involved, I think, regularly visiting the temple, doing different services, donating and associating, and involved and appreciative of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement. So, in other words, in simple terms, a very good man. He was definitely not an Ajamil who was just like a human disaster, something like that. Just a hopeless, drunken, criminal. No, just really, you could say, the dregs of humanity. Yes. So, somehow or other, despite Ajamil's drastic lack of qualification for God consciousness and religion, despite that, he became attached to chanting a name of the Lord. Circumstantial reasons were there, but it was not his choice, as it is for like those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, that one makes a decision that because this is God consciousness, because this helps me come closer to God, therefore I will chant the names of the Lord, I will practice spiritual activities, avoid negative activities, you know, a systematic approach to developing a spiritual, godly life. Ajamil was, he was not thinking like that, but circumstantially, he became attached to chanting a name of the Lord. And he didn't he was not thinking, yes, this is a name of God. He was only thinking, this is my son's name and I must chase around as parents do, chase around after my child and see he doesn't get into trouble and all these types of things that parents do. So, but despite that, he was delivered. We can just remember again, as we mentioned last night, that this, the telling of the story of Ajamil and how he achieved this, like the highest goal despite his disqualifications, it came about because the author, or not author really, but the speaker of the Bhagavatam had described the hellish planets, which are just like catastrophic places for a person to go. Absolutely, absolutely horrific. And Parikshit was shocked and asked, well, how can we save the, how can the people be saved? And the answer is chanting the holy names of the Lord. In fact, it is so effective for delivering people who are in bad conditions that even though this person was not chanting nicely, he was even chanting, not indicating the Lord, but just indicating his son. Despite that, it was still effective. How amazing. So, yes, yes. Actually, this is the nature of Krishna consciousness. That just a little bit of Krishna consciousness can offset and sort of neutralize a lot of bad materialistic activity and the karma, the results of a lot of bad materialistic activity. Krishna makes that point in Bhagavad Gita I was going to read. I was thinking, first of all, of reading chapter 2, verse 40. De Caronte. Anyone knows De Caronte? Anyway, it's okay. Neha Bikrama Nashosti Pratyavayu Navijate Swalpamap Yasya Dharmasya Triate Mahato Bayat. Krishna says that any progress made. Well, let me just actually read what Krishna says. I happen to mark it. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The most dangerous type of fear means to fall down into lower species, lose the human form of life. So Krishna is saying, in this endeavor, in Krishna consciousness, you make a little advancement and you never lose it. You never lose it. There's no loss and there's no reduction. You make a little advancement and it stays with you. In that verse, in the purport, Prabhupada contrasts that with material activity. That you do material activity and you get some result, but then you lose it, inevitably. For example, very simple example, you work. Basically, practically all adults are working. You work, and as a result, you get some money. But then you lose the money because you have to spend it to live. So you can't, there's a saying in English, you cannot have your cake and eat it also. Have it, you know, the full cake, but eat it also. You know, either you've got it, or you eat it. So you work hard, you get money, and of course, unless you're a very wealthy person, the great majority of people work and get money and spend it, and then it's gone. This is what happens in material life, that you acquire something and then you naturally lose it. Like, I assume you're all students. Yeah. Are you at varsity or something like that?
Monk University in Acton.
Okay. And the others are at school, I assume. Yeah. I was at school also. believe it or not. I think I'm the oldest person here. I went to school and I learned many things. And you know, one thing I learned French. I studied French for, I think, 8 years. And I was good at it. I would come first. So it was up to a university level. You know, not bad at all, at least. But you ask me to speak in French now. C'est pas possible. Ce n'est pas possible. Très difficile. Très difficile. Because I got it, but then I lost it.
Yeah.
And similarly, even, you know, an interesting little point. Interesting little point. Of course, I'm brought up to speak English, but I go to Russia every year for some months, and I speak Russian. Not that well, but, you know, not too bad. Regularly, every day, all day, Russian, Russian, Russian. And when we come back to an English-speaking place, I have to kind of think about it a little, to just tune back in to the English language, a little sort of change of gear. Because, well, the principle is, in worldly life, you get something, but then you lose it. So, yeah. And Krishna makes the, and Prabhupada makes the point in the purport there that even at the end of your life, if you have not completed Krishna consciousness, in your next life you'll start from the same point where you finished. But in material life it doesn't work like that. You're going to go to university. I went to university also, and, you know, we learn so many things. But in our next life, say you become a PhD. What's your specialty of knowledge?
Physics.
So you're going to do a BSc or something like that. Okay, so in your next life, in your next life, then when you become 5 or 6 or 7 or so, in your next life, you have to go back to school. And then you cannot say, wait a minute, I was PhD in physics, so why should I go to school? Or if you become a very rich man, king of Katraborn, king of the Mauritius. If you become a very rich man, and then in your next life, you're born with nothing, and you cannot say, but look, I was a rich man. This is the nature of material life. You get something, you lose it. But in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't work like that. You make some progress, and whatever happens, but you lose your life sooner or later. Next life, you start from the same point. Yes, so even if it is not complete, there's no real, you don't need to worry. Like if you have a motor car, but it is not complete. Maybe it doesn't have a steering wheel. You've got a problem. But just because it's just one little thing, it's just a small part of the car, but you don't have it, you have a problem. If you have a house, and just one small thing, no front, no door to get in. You can climb in the windows, perhaps, but it's a problem. But in Krishna consciousness, even if you don't complete everything, by the end of this life, it's not a problem, because you will continue on. And by Krishna's grace, gradually you'll come to perfection. So therefore, in situations like this, you know, unfortunately, because of the nature of this world, we encounter such situations amongst our devotees. Often it's not unusual that someone passes away, you could say prematurely, before you'd really expect. It's one thing if someone is 70 or 80 years old, but if they're like 40, 50, it's premature. And of course there's just the natural tendency to feel the loss. That's only natural. But at least if we consider these things we've been reading and talking about here, then we can understand that even though we feel a loss on a personal level, but in terms of the position of that person who has passed away, we don't need to really worry about them. What is Manoj's situation? Where has he gone? What sort of environment is he living in? We don't have to worry. Even if he was not exactly like, I mean, I don't know if he was or not, but even if he wasn't like seriously chanting 16 rounds a day, etc., etc., maybe he was, I don't actually know. But even if someone, you know, they're involved in Krishna consciousness, they like it, and they're attending programs, etc., but they're not like fully immersed, and then they pass away. There's nothing to lament about for them, in terms of what's their future going to be. The devotee's future is always bright. It's always bright. So therefore, in that sense, we can have that type of confidence that even though we feel a loss on a personal level, and that's only natural, but for the person who's passed away, there's nothing to worry about at all. Such a person is always protected by Krishna, helped by Krishna, always gets the mercy of Krishna. And therefore it's said, Hey Krishna, you know that verse? Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho. You know that? Oh Krishna, Hey, meaning Oh Krishna, ocean of mercy, Dina Bandho, friend of the sort of lowly people, Jagatpate, the Lord of the world, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha, Radha Kanta Namastute. He's always caring for his devotees and looking after his devotees, and not only the very advanced ones, but all. And he looked after Ajamil, who was, not really a devotee, actually. He wasn't really a devotee. If he was an accidental devotee or something like that, by mistake. But Krishna makes the point, I don't know if I can remember which verse it is, that those who are pious are never overcome by evil. Anyone remember that verse? Those who are good are never overcome by evil. It's not reference is not here, but anyway, Krishna says that they're never overcome by evil. So this, it should really be an impetus to us, actually. We all have our shortcomings and weaknesses and things we have to work on. But we should work on them. We should work on them. And have faith. Have faith that Krishna's there. Krishna's in control. And even though things happened in a way we really didn't expect, but Krishna will take care. Krishna will take care of his devotees, and he'll take care of us too. And we should, we really should. As Ajamil was chanting, I see you got one son named Kartik. Oh, the little one. Then you got Krishna. I've been looking for Krishna for a long time. And then you've got, what's your name?
Keshava.
Or Keshava. Well, there's a good name.
But my
point is, we should try to systematically cultivate our Krishna consciousness. Don't just rely that, well, Ajamil, you know, he was just chanting in some abstract way, and I'll do the same thing. But we should try to, make a strategy for developing our Krishna consciousness. Do you chant yourself? You do, yeah?
I need to run.
Okay. You work also. Anyway, I mean, you work, don't you? What do you do?
Accountant.
You're an accountant?
Yes.
Like a chartered accountant? CA?
No, in many places I work one day here, one day over.
Okay.
I change every day.
Okay. Yeah, what do you do?
I have my own business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, the thing is, try, like he's an accountant. You know Harry Dave, of course, he's a telecommunications man, and you know, everyone has their thing to do to stay alive. But if we sort of strategize and see how to arrange our lives, then even, you know, we have many big business people. Like, did Ambarish come here?
No.
I didn't come here. Ambarish does.
Vajvilas Prabhu came along with.
They came. Ambarish, Alfred Ford, member of the Ford family.
Mm-hmm.
Very wealthy and works hard. But he's a very sort of strict devotee. I would advise, just, you know, friendly advice, try to gradually increase your chanting, because it makes a difference to our feelings, to our thinking, our attitudes, and, you know, the general state of mind. It's very easy under these circumstances to become sometimes depressed, etc., etc. This is sort of, it's almost normal that it happens. But if we work on our Krishna consciousness progressively, then it will pick us up in ways that, you know, you have to experience it to understand it. It's amazing, actually. It's just amazing. So, anyway, we'll pray to Krishna for the knowledge. Although, you know, he's in good hands. He's in Krishna's hands, so. But still we'll pray. And we'll pray to Krishna to help you all. Yeah. And he will. And particularly, the more you chant, the more Krishna will intervene in your life. Hare Krishna. Killer ATL. Okay, 6:30. Just any comments, questions, ideas, thoughts?
Have any questions for Maharaj? Something you want to
discuss?
Yeah, sure. Vous allez prendre quelque chose à boire?
What was that? Qu'est-ce que c'est? I understand.
If you would like to serve them something to drink, like
coconut
okay. water.
Sure, sure. Nice coconut water. It's good.
Dab.
Coconut water is very nice and easy. Maharaj, coconut water is very, very nice and nourishes. Better than Iranian.
Really?
Yes. Ah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, this one is really nice.
Oui, bon, on va jusqu'au temps pour récupérer son sac.
Parce que déjà pour sac, non?
Oui, pour son sac. Oui. Very nice guys, my lord. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.